ahead and get started. We have Tim Tormey, U.S. Marine Corps, retired now, Officers Christian Fellowship at Maxwell and Gunner. Welcome, Tim. Good to have you here with us today. Our purpose, as you know, just to get an update on your ministry and certainly your family, too. Why don't we start with your family? You have extended your family boundaries somewhat, so help us understand the size of your family.
Yeah, sure. Good morning. It's good to be with you guys this morning. Thank you, one, for being intentional just to reach out and say, hey, what's going on? And pursue me, right? I should probably be continuing to feed you guys information. But thanks for supporting Officers Christian Fellowship and what the Lord's called me and my family to do here in Montgomery, Alabama. I just can tell you it's been a really exciting year. Lord is continuing to change lives and to utilize the ministry to encourage and equip and really sort of, you know, I see this Maxwell as a place where they just sort of pass through and then are sent out to take the gospel and to disciple and evangelize whatever base they go to next. So my family is a big part of that, and as you know, so I love to do introductions with the folks that come to Maxwell. So, for example, the squadron officer school, right? Those guys come for about 5 weeks, and there's five or six classes every year. And so the most recent class just started up last week. And I always lead off the introductions. And so I say, hey, tell me a little bit about, you know, what you do in the Air Force. Tell me what base you're stationed. Tell me about your family. And so I tell them about my family. And I say I married to amazing wife Kim for 24 years now. And we have 15 kids, and then they all just sort of, their eyes get big. And is he joking with me? I got him out, I'm not sure. This is like punchline to this, you know? So anyway, it's fun to do introductions. And then invariably, some as it goes around, that sort of their mind is just still not wrapped around it. You know, they'll, about seven or eight introductions later, one of the guys, I just, you know, 15 kids, like, how big is your house? You know? Well, they all have their own room. And I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. We have more bunk beds than you can imagine in our house. As a matter of fact, I built like a triple bunk bed one time, and it had a trundle underneath, so it was sort of like four high, you know, like cordwood. But anyway, the exciting thing about the last year, I think it's exciting. It's been challenging, but exciting is that four of our oldest have moved out. So. It all for good things. Riley, my oldest, he's 23, graduated Auburn University, Montgomery, with a nursing degree. He got married, met a gal, a daughter of a Air Force colonel here in town. He just retired. And so Karis King was her maiden name. So Riley Karis got married in July. And that was just a great opportunity to just, you know, see him flourish. Karis, getting a new daughter, she's wonderful. Love Jesus. And so they're doing really well. He works at Baptist South in the emergency department now. And Karis is a school teacher up at Pine Level, fourth grade school teacher. So that was number one. Or that was really number two. JC, my daughter, who's the second oldest, she's the one that manages Nancy's Italian Ice. So we have a little family business, Nancy's Italian Ice, which is which has been so good for our family. Just to, another way to be in the community, another way to engage people. And for goodness, you can't hardly go through the drive-through stop by Nancy's probably without seeing one of my kids working there. And so that's been good for them. JC moved out a little over a year ago. She bought her own house, and she, you know, lives in Deer Creek, and she's doing really well, constantly opening it up for, as a matter of fact, Isabel Waring's wedding is coming up, and a few folks are staying at her house for the time that they're here at the wedding. So that's JC. Riley, JC, Brennan is our 19-year-old. He is at Furman University up in Greenville, South Carolina. A little small school up there, but he ended up with about 13 Division I offers to go play football, and which was, yeah, huge blessing. So anyway, we were super excited, and the one he accepted was at Furman University. And so full scholarship to play football. He's 6'7". He's up to like 232 now. Wow. He's a tight end. And he's redshirting this year, so he hadn't gotten into a single play yet, but we've gone up with that. So that's part of what we've been doing this year is just supporting him, being away from home and gone. And so we got season tickets for home football games. And a matter of fact, we just got in last night from being up at Furman over the weekend, watching them play. Goodness, who they? Oh, VMI. They beat up on VMI pretty good on Saturday.
Wow.
And then my brothers came too. So I have two brothers, and they rendezvoused with us, and we camped a couple of nights extra in a state park in Greenville. So that was this past weekend. So that's Brennan. And then my last daughter, Martha, she's also 19, and she graduated high school back in May, and she's at White Silver Springs, one of OCF's conference centers up in Pennsylvania, where they have a gap year program up there. It's called the Excel, teaching these young folks sort of about leadership and then discipling. They're being very intensely discipled, and then they're working alongside. So Martha's been working in the kitchen up there, helping the head cook prepare lots of meals. They just had a big gathering of midshipmen from the Naval Academy come through, and she was calling me and telling me, "Dad, oh, they were so fun, and it was a great time, and I really enjoyed sort of getting to know some of these men." So anyway, that's our four oldest, and so now the other 11 are still at home, and life is busy with soccer and, you know, doctor's appointments and all those other things that you could imagine. And Kim, of course, she just had surgery on Monday. Tuesday a week ago, and she had just a sort of minor surgery on her wrist, and she's doing well, healing from that. So anyway, family's doing really well. Thanks for asking.
And I know four or five of the younger children are adopted. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. So 11 biological, 4 adopted, and the 4 adopted are all from Liberia, West Africa, to a brother, sister in 2008. And then, again, in 2015, little boy, he has a prosthetic leg and some other sort of deformities on his hands. But, man, it's just, he loves wrestling, and he's sharp as can be. As a matter of fact, he got up early this morning. He usually goes with me on Tuesday mornings. I do the leadership breakfast on the base. And he was up this morning. He's looking at me, "Dad, where are we going?" I said, "Buddy, I've got something different this morning." I should have brought him along and sat right next to us. But he loves being a part of the studies and just hanging out. And so he's doing great. And then the last one from Liberia, a little girl, she doesn't walk, but she can scooch or bump. So she sits and she can throw her legs, her arms just sort of hanging at her side. She has arthrogryposis, so like sort of these locked joints that sort of frozen. So anyway, she's great, and we took her wheelchair all the way up with us, motorized wheelchair, to the game. She's getting around and having fun at the campground. So anyway, life's good.
Yeah,
thanks for asking.
Well, I know your children are much like Housewarian's children as they've grown up in this ministry, both while active duty as well as now retired, and they're part of the ministry. And
Yeah, no, thanks for that reminder. So they are. I mean, whether we're hosting, hospitality is probably Kim's greatest gift, is just having people over the house. And God gave us a beautiful place to have folks over. So we regularly will just host, and the kids are really responsible for helping clean up the house and pick up and make sure it's, you know, people feel like they're coming into a good, clean, warm place. And then they usually have cleanup too after everybody leaves. And kind of like, oh, man. But they do. They just serve beautifully. I think it's been good for them to, that's just sort of one of the ways that they serve, but a really important one is with hospitality and having people over. I foresee them doing that in their own homes as they get older.
Yeah. Very good. So tell us the rest of your ministry now.
Thanks. Well. Yeah. So, I was trying to think what maybe work a little bit big, small. So ministry-wise, Officers Christian Fellowship overall is doing well as a ministry. As a matter of fact, I had this slide where this has a picture of the United States, and we have this sort of new positions, relatively new. They're called regional coordinators. And so it's actually what House and Tammy, their new role that just in the last 2 or 3 months have come on as regional coordinators. So the country's broken down into about 6 regions, I think, right now. And so those regional coordinators sort of are part of the paid staff with OCF. And then area coordinators sort of in areas where there's more concentrated military bases, like San Antonio is a good example where there's a couple of military bases all in that one city. So you have an area coordinator, and then you have the local leader. And so the local leader is just the gal that's teaching the Bible study, maybe doing some mentoring, meeting one-on-one, whether they're uniformed or retired or whatever it is. So anyway, that's been pretty neat for the ministry to sort of really gain some new field staff what we're calling region coordinators as part of the team. We just had our annual get together. The staff gets together in person once a year. I was out in Colorado this year at Colorado Springs, and OCF has moved to a new home office. I know House has sort of told you about it, but we have a new home office. It's in Colorado Springs. It's called the Cook Building. I think this, I can't remember his first name, Dennis C. Cook, maybe. Anyway, just we share this beautiful office space that looks out over the mountains there, and we just lease a few hundred square feet up there. And so that's where Scott Fisher, the executive director, and the rest of the staff work out of on a every 2 or 3 days a week out there, not every day. They do some telecommuting, and Scott's traveling. So anyway, we all got to go out there, get together, see each other face to face, do some sort of, you know, interacting for the ministry, planning, vision casting, praying. I mean, it's just awesome. You walk into the room with those people, you're just like, you feel like you're in a room of like spiritual giants. You know, they're just phenomenal people. And so it was a really sweet time out there, just again, collaborating and talking about whether, oh, and then it was kind of in conjunction with the officers, the council. So our governing body, and like the board of directors, we call it the council. So they were there at the same time. So we got to interact with them and tell them a little bit about what's going on out in the field. So this is what I shared with them about OCF at Maxwell. I'll just give you a couple, maybe two vignettes. I think last year I came about this time, and there was about three or four Air Force lieutenants that had shown up here. And they had been sent here because they had refused the vaccine.
Right.
And so they didn't know what to do with them. Therefore, so they were all pilot contracts. But because they didn't take the vaccine, they were sort of, what do we do with these guys? So they sent them to Maxwell. Well, I knew two of them, and they said, hey, you know, they knew how to use the directory. They got online and sent me an email or a text message. They said, hey, are you still the OCF guy at Maxwell? I said, what? So we connected. Anyway, Joe, Josh, and Oliver. And then there was another fourth guy, Christian, who wasn't quite as tight, but when these guys would come over, they showed up right in about beginning of December last year.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was just awesome. I got to just, we had them over our house building, gingerbread houses with the kids. So, you know, mm-hmm. icing and candy, and they were just new to the area. They didn't know anything. And the really exciting part about it is the mandate for the vaccine got lifted. Those guys got reinstated for pilot contracts again. And so they went out to Pueblo, Colorado for their initial flight training. And then they all just left about a month ago, two to Columbus and two to Oklahoma. And so they are doing what they do. But in the meantime, we just really got close to them. We got to know them. As a matter of fact, I met with each of them, with the three of those guys individually, and we walked through a book together about Idols of the Heart. And so anyway, it was a sweet opportunity to just, they were like, hey, you know, they in their lives, as they're thinking, like, what is this detour about, right? Like, why am I sort of, I'm delayed a couple of years, I'm gonna be behind my peers in my flight, you know, training, and why is this delay? And I think if you ask them now, they would sort of say, man, this was a sweet year where we got to just, you know, be around some strong Christian families. I think they ended up at Jesus City Church worshiping down there, but they would come Tuesday mornings to leadership Bible study, and then whenever we were having something to get together, they'd say, hey, come on, guys, come over. I'm hoping one or two of them come back for Thanksgiving if they're not flying home, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, that's a little bit about some of the ministry that goes on here at Maxwell.
But then duplicated or replicated in another way at different levels, you're doing studies with all the different levels of schools.
Yes, thanks, Tom. I think I sent Julie a couple of the prayer requests. And in those, I list out sort of all the different studies that go on. I think I always forget that everybody's not familiar with those. Thanks. There are essentially four or five studies a week. So there's a Tuesday morning study, there's a Thursday morning SOS study, then there's the Friday morning Air War College study, which has been really good this year. About two or three from the faculty, and then three or four students. Sort of smaller, the chaplain comes, Beatrice Cobongs, Chaplain Cobongs comes. And so anyway, that's been Friday morning studying Proverbs. It's been a great time to encourage those couple of ladies in there that are so thankful for that opportunity just to get together to be in the Word. They're like, man, this doesn't happen in the Northeast. Like, people get together and being in the Bible study and it being sort of advertised that this is okay, you know, that this is this is a good thing. And so anyway, Airwood College, and then on Sunday mornings, this has been exciting that the officer trainees, there's been a sort of a, they've revamped the way that they're going to train these guys, and they're doing this block training. And so, about 3 weeks ago, the first class, showed up, and every year, every week, we've been adding more and more. And so I think there were about 35, Sunday morning, just for what I call Sunday school, Bible study, great opportunity to just, be able to, mostly chaplains that are coming through there as of right now. And they love just getting in, hearing the word. They're like, man, this is the highlight of our week. We really look forward to, just being in fellowship and hearing the word. So those are the four sort of standing studies. And then there are a couple others that meet weeknights. One of the guys, Rick Steen, who comes here on Sunday evenings, he and his family, they host a Thursday evening study. And that's, I think, been gangbusters. They don't have enough space for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, so that's really exciting.
Yeah. Yep. So a bunch of the OTS, current OTS class are chaplains.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And man, gosh, really strong chaplains, you know, sound doctrinally and theologically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of them have been prior service. So they're, you know, they're not 22-year-olds. They're usually like 28-year-olds or 32-year-olds, you know, and that families. And so, anyway, it's been exciting. I think, gosh, out of that 32, I'd say 10 or 12 are chaplains.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I got stuck in line at the barbershop behind most of them last week. but I had no idea that you chaplains there.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, that's great. How many other sort of local groups are there, like the Skeens and what you're doing?
In the past, there's been a couple of others, one up in the Prattville area when another family was here. Just as guys sort of come and start something and then leave, that transition is a really challenging piece. Like, who am I going to hand this off to, right? So the Prattville one didn't continue. And then we've always hosted one on Friday nights, but with the traveling up to Brennan's football games, we host one still on Sunday nights. Not an OCF specific study. It just connected with our church and our small group. So Young Meadows small group meets at our house on Sunday nights, and it's predominantly military families. So and that's sort of how we've been sort of cracking that nut. It's just so Rick Steen is really the only other one on the weeknights, is Thursday nights. There have been a couple other in the past, but none right now.
Kind of waxes and wanes.
It does.
For reasons that are outside of your control.
It does, yes. Yes.
Yeah. What do you find? I mean, the climate in which these active duty folks are serving continues to change. What do you find are the stressors for them in that changing climate that are stretching them spiritually and stressing them probably emotionally too?
Yeah, good question. I share a testimony with the guys. If they're here for a year, hopefully I'll hit them once with it. But like the squadron officer school class is here for 5 weeks. The last week I share a testimony of the mishap and the accident and the Osprey, and I just talk about sort of how God used that in my life to certainly change circumstances and then offer to draw me to himself, you know, in a lot of ways. And so I love to share that testimony with these guys. And then the sort of the start of that, I talk about the spiritual pillar, right? It's even in the Air Force's, they have a airman fitness diagram, right? And it just has these pillars, the physical pillar and the mental pillar and the social pillar. And then they have a spiritual pillar. Mm-hmm. And the Air Force knows that pillar is important, but they don't really know how to, come alongside and equip their leaders to sort of strengthen that pillar, right? There's not enough chaplains to do that. They can sort of help a little bit with that spiritual strengthening, but you know, that spiritual pillar and really sort of, what does that look like? How do I help these guys, you know, deepen their spiritual faith and walk with us? So I really see, that's why I think there's a great partnership with Officers Christian Fellowship or with the Navigators or with crew, anybody that sort of wants to come alongside a military member and help them in that equipping, right? Like OCF sort of mantra is like, we really want to help young officers, help leaders integrate their faith with their profession. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those two things are inextricably linked.
And I think, you know, the military in general would sort of say, hey, you know, check your faith at the door and come in and do your job and do it really well. And then, you know, we'll go back and you can, you know, pick up your faith again. And we'd say, well, Seth would say, no, like, you know, who you are, that is intrinsically part of who you are, is your faith. And so how do you live that out as a leader and integrate that into what you do? And so I think, you know, I hadn't heard sort of a lot of challenging things from these guys specifically. I don't know if it's maybe because I'm not listening or because maybe in Alabama, in the South still, it's, you know, it's a little bit more permissible sort of environment for those guys, and they don't feel sort of as persecuted as much. But I think, you know, just helping them be consistent in their faith and then inviting them in to participate in ministry. Obviously, you probably heard Hal say, and I say it all the time, like, we don't want more members. OCF does membership, right? Like, Trinity and Young Meadows probably do membership, right? OCF does membership, and that's really just to have a baseline of the faith, right? There's sort of two sentences that you say, hey, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his death, burial, and resurrection, sort of straight out of scripture. Say, do you agree with that? Yep. And then there's a statement of participation. And we want officers, leaders who are going to participate in ministry, right? Like, we don't want to have you join so that I can say, you know, I have X number of members. We just want members who are going to participate in ministry. And so, you know, like I said, back to this idea, what are they struggling with or what are they sort of facing? I think just helping them be consistent in their walk and in their faith and living that on a day basis and then participating in ministry. Like, one of the subtle changes that's happened, I think, with the Maxwell Ministry is that we've gained what I call a ministry team. So it's not just me who is the single point of sort of, if I'm not here, the Bible study doesn't go, like, right? Like, House is covering the Tuesday morning leadership breakfast this morning, and another guy covered for me on Sunday, you know, and led the OTS study. And so there's a couple of couples and a single guy, Sean Boylan, and I call them part of the OCF Maxwell Ministry team. And so, you know, together, even though they're not hired by OCF or not on staff, they're volunteers, but they are doing the ministry just as much as I am. And so, they, you know, getting them involved and letting their sort of hands, you know, do some of the work, I think is really helpful for them to, you know, part of that consistency piece and part of that, you know, modeling it for them. Like, hey, I don't want to be the guy that has to lead, feel like it has to lead every study. Like, I'm perfectly content to, like, let you sort of and help where needed. I don't want to just throw you out there. You know, so a lot of times you feel ill-equipped as a lay person, right, that hasn't been seminary trained or hasn't been in school to be that leader. But for these guys, I think it's been great. And there's another couple I want to tell you about, Rachel and Christian. Christian grew up in Montgomery. Rachel came through here for SOS, Squadron Officer School, in 2018, I think, right about the time I was transitioning from taking over the ministry from House. And we connected in a really neat way. Rachel and I did. She started coming to that Bible study, and she was in Delaware at the time. She got transferred down here. We met Christian when she got to Montgomery. Christian is a nurse by trade in the civilian world, and he's in the reserves. So he's at the Air Medical Evacuation Squadron at Maxwell. So he gets to train on the C-130s and the different airplanes that come through here in the reserves, and then a civilian nurse. And then Rachel, she's since gotten out, and she's also in the reserves. And so actually I got to marry them like 2 years ago, which was super cool. But then they have really stayed connected to the ministry. And matter of fact, Rachel came last Tuesday morning to the leadership breakfast. Christian couldn't come for some reason. I think he was on nights for nursing. And so I got to talk with Rachel, catch up with her, and she was sort of emotional about a couple of things. And she said, hey, are you guys doing your Friday night study? I said, no, we're not. She says, well, can we still come over anyway? You know, it's a different times. And so just a young couple wanting to, you know, knowing our big family and the kids, and they all know the kids, love the kids. And so just a great connection. But they're part of the ministry team. Like, they are just serving in great ways, beautiful ways. Living out their faith, and I think we're helping encourage them to as a young couple, like, what does it look like to you know, be married and then maybe to have a family one day and to raise them. So it's been a really sweet connection with Christian and Rachel.
All right, questions. Down the thing, we're all on one side today.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
What did we do to help you?
Yeah, you know, I I said to House, I think the other day, there are oftentimes I get handoffs, sort of like a warm handoff of a name. Say, hey, this family has been coming to our church. They just showed up. And maybe, you know, I love that they would get plugged into a local church, right? But that's exactly what we want. But also sometimes there's just a goodness to being part of the military community, whether that's so letting them know, somebody that comes to Trinity, a military family, know what's going on with Officer Christmas Fellowship. So maybe you guys have been doing that. I haven't gotten anybody saying, hey, you know, I've been going to Trinity and they sent me over to, you know, check out the Tuesday morning leadership breakfast. Or, you know, maybe they want to host a study at their house on one of the evenings. They live out, they call Deer Creek, sort of off base housing, you know, it's not base housing, but there's tons of military out there, right? And so and just having. Yeah, Deer Creek, having a family out there that'd be willing to host a study. I did ask a guy if he could lead in his season of life. He couldn't lead a study in Deer Creek, so that one did it first. But just, I think if you had any families that are coming through, just give them my contact info. I can leave you with a few cards or whatever, but, you know, you guys have it. So, you know, just say, hey, there's a military presence here or a military ministry, and maybe they would want to be connected. So I think that would be a great way to help just – make an awareness about it. And it's not about numbers, I don't think. I always sort of think, well, maybe there's got to be more believers. There's got to be more Christians in this area that want to sort of come and live out their faith. Now, maybe some people don't like getting up early on Tuesday mornings. And, you know, I try to warm in with a good record. But, you know, so connections, I say, is where you guys could really help. And then, of course, praying for the ministry. And then the other thing that we did out in Colorado was support raising training. So when we take over the role of the job, you know, it just comes with, hey, you also raise your own support. And my guidance given me, which I think was fantastic at the time and still think it's good, is, hey, just focus on the ministry and on what you need to be doing. And then, you know, not that you don't need to worry about the support raising aspect of it, but sort of come back to that later. And so we know that's part of the job, but none of us have been trained in that. Like we just, you know, you make a connection, you share somebody what's going on. Most of the time, they don't really have any idea that, you know, my salary and the ministry expenses are part of what how we raise. So anyway, we went to 2-day training. For us to go to this training, House attending there, a bunch of OCF staff were there. And we got this very practical, like, hey, write your script on how to make a phone call and then set up an appointment. Do it face-to-face, one-on-one. And so, anyway, that was really helpful. I've had a couple of appointments already. I've talked to folks and incredibly receptive to, like, oh, man, I'm about to get a pay raise. And we were trying to figure out what to do with that a little bit extra. We would love to support Maxwell. So, you know, financial is always a need for the ministry, specifically for Maxwell, a little bit below sort of glide slope. I know Trinity has been one of two churches that have supported me. I don't often get or solicit from churches. I go to the individuals that have been sort of impacted by the ministry. But thank you for your support over the many years that you have been supporting Maxwell. But again, perhaps you know, there might be some more in the budget to see if we can support OCF for you. Yeah. So the budget, right, you know, the budget is we had to cut our budgets by about 15% from the previous year. For our FY, just because of giving being down a little bit in the ministry. And so we cut our budgets by 15%. And so right now my budget's sitting right around $95,000 to pay my salary, to cover travel expenses, to do all the things, you know, buy breakfasts in the morning. And so I think I'm at about 65 of that. And so there's a delta there of a amount that I'm just, you know, once you share with people sort of what's going on, they're pretty excited about supporting them. But it's always been one of those things I haven't been really great at, right? I don't want folks to sort of think that I'm sharing with them in order that they'll, you know, give financially. Like, I just want to be able to pour into them and trust God to take care of it. But if you don't ask, they don't usually know. Or you don't.
Well, yeah, if you don't ask, you're they don't know.
That's right. Why I ask them. That's right, yeah.
A lot of you.
Are you finding that there are certain issues that are across the board that come up with military families or individuals that they're struggling with their faith with specific issues just by virtue of being in the military, certain things that everyone struggles with, I'm not military, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. That's a great question. And with holding your little daughter in your hands, right? I said this to someone the other day. A young man is at Georgetown. He's a senior, and he wants to join the Marines. And so he doesn't know much about Marines. And so I got somebody connected us, and I got to tell him about it. And he said, "Hey, what's one of the things that you struggled with when you were in, sort of like a negative side?" And I said, "Well, you know, the military, they ask a lot of people. Not just a lot in that, you know, hey, I want you to train and deploy and to potentially go in harm's way, but like long hours and long days and duty on weekends and then deployments, just being separated from family." And so I would say one of the big things is they will ask and ask and ask and expect you to, you know, commit a lot of your life to it, right? You could spend, I mean, you could probably test this 16, 18, sometimes 20-hour days working, doing the mission, and you could sort of think that that's what the Air Force or the military needs of you. And there probably are small seasons where that needs to be the case, but generally, right, you need to have like a quitting time, and you need to go home with family, and you need to be able to, you know, have that sort of, gosh, I don't love the word balance, right? But this idea of balance in your life. And so I just think that was really good for guys to hear that, like, hey, you know, work will be there tomorrow, right? Like, I can go back. It's a little bit different in that it's, you know, you're deploying and you're, you know, some things have to get done. The mission sort of is a big part of what you do. But I think equally important is the mission to the family and the home and the taking care of responsibilities at home. And so I think a lot of guys, the military just continues to sort of breed this idea that I've got to continue to be a performer and to get promoted and to do well. Like, I've got to spend hours and hours and extra hours and stay later than the other guy. And I just think it's a really difficult mindset to get into and to forsake. So I think, you know, there's a lot of ramifications from that, right? Like, you know, whether that's divorces or whether that's, you know, guys, young children, you know, missing a mom or a dad because they're just not around very much. And so encouraging them to have a quitting time and go home and then maybe take like house. I think it was good at telling you, like, hey, after I work home and after the kids went to bed and I put them down, I would go study and I'd spend my time doing that, right? Otherwise, you could spend your entire life in the military doing what they need you to do or thinking you're doing all that they need you to do, and you miss out on things that are going on back home. And I think that's a real challenge for a lot of families to see, hey, you know what, this is not the only thing that I'm called to do. I mean, they know that, but the balance of time doesn't reflect what they know. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for asking that question.
Do you have a lot of military people at the Young Mothers? A lot of them come because of you.
I don't know if a lot of them come because of me, but there's always every year probably 2, 3, maybe 4 families that will show up at base, that will come to one of the studies, and I'll say, hey, if you haven't found a home church, I'll tell them about, hey, you know, tell them about Jesus City, because Jason Powell comes to the Tuesday morning leadership breakfast. I say, you know, if you just need a good sound Bible preaching church, let me know, and I'll send you to one, or I'll let you, you know what time services are, and I say, okay, yeah, that sounds great. So there have been a couple that have come, and I think we just did an inquirer's class at Young Meadows, and I think we had 4 or maybe 5 military families join, even though they may only be here for a year.
Well, you could have a lot of them here, and I just don't.
You've not had as many recently.
Yeah.
At least not this year.
I remember one time we had quite a few coming through.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I miss them, but they come and go. But it was a good experience for us, I think.
But that's funny, because I was thinking you probably have 3 times as many military families as we're seeing.
It was working better when we could go on base during the orientation
days. Yes.
And they've kind of turned that off now. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, you know, that might be another way we could partner. You know, still permitted to go on there and set up the table. Wouldn't mind sort of sharing it with you. I think in the past you've done that very thing, right?
You did. Yeah.
Somebody's made cookies and there's little bags of cookies and a Trinity card or something on there. And, you know, I think if guys know about it, they're likely to come. It's just like we talked about with Friday. Like, if you don't know, you're not going to, you know, see these guys showing up. Usually, some of them might go to the website, but it's usually word of mouth.
Yeah. And we do find most people who come have mentioned the website first. So,
yeah,
that's not too surprising.
Yeah, people want to know sort of your doctrine and faith and what you're doing.
Well, all right. We have some prayer requests from you. Any updates? Any additional prayer requests? That's what.
You
gave us.
I just want to also say thank you for the office space that you've given me over the years. There's an office sort of over the library back there.
Are you still using
that? Back corner. I haven't used it in a while. Sort of when COVID came and, you know, people weren't going out as much, I didn't sort of use it. I got out of the habit of using it. So I need to just kind of clear out my stuff and let you guys have that back. But I just want to thank you for providing that for me. That was such a good place to just be able to have some quiet time. Like, kind of goes in line with my first prayer request about my administrative requirements, right? Like, it's easy for me to, if I stay anywhere near the house, to have some task or responsibility, you know, a kid needs this or Kim needs that. And so I need to get away to just make sure I'm covering down on those administrative requirements, because that's important to include, you know, setting up appointments and meeting people one-on-one and saying, hey, here's our OCF works. And would you consider participating in the ministry this way? So.
Yeah, well, you're welcome to continue using that. It was during our sanctuary renovation, that was part of the pathway to a lot of the work. So maybe a layer of dust on that.
Okay.
That was looked at recently. But,
No, I don't have any additional purchase. When you think about our family and all that goes on, I just, for Kim and I to have some intentional time, right? It's just easy to be so busy, whether it's kids, whether it's ministry, whether it's Nancy's, what sort of all those things combined to sort of both be going, you know, in parallel, and then sort of forget or lack that sort of FaceTime and that, you know, getting together. Like, we went out to dinner about a month ago and it was wonderful, you know, but we don't probably make that a priority as much as we need to. So just pray for Kim and I to be, you know, much more connected when we can.
Which Dora runs the Nancy's Eyes?
Yeah, JC is her name, yes.
J-A-C-E-Y.
All
right.
So she's the one who's traveling with you to
Indiana.
That's right, yes. She's going to Indiana with me. We've gone the last 2 years, and oh man, for a whole week we just sort of get poured into. Neither of us is officially a biblical counselor. We don't have counselees, but in the job, it's sort of that I do. And she just loves it. I think she would like to be a biblical counselor one day. And so anyway, we're going up there to Indiana, and for a week we just hear scripture and the truth about how to, you know, just have conversations with people, encourage them. Yeah. So yes. Thanks for asking, Bubba.
All right. Well, Bubba, would you start us in prayer? I'll be praising one, or out there in Zoom land, join us in prayer too. And I'll close it.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to hear from Tim and just the amazing ministry that he has, the involvement he has in so many lives. I think of his family, Lord. I thank you for his time with his family. I do lift up he and Kim, and just give them some good quality time with all this activity going on, that they can have time to be together. But Lord, what a blessing to have a family that's so involved in the ministry, and he gets in the lives of so many people. And Lord, it's all about discipleship. Lord, you are bringing him before these young men and women that a lot of them probably know the Lord first, but he's strengthening them, sending out and to all places all over the world. So it's so encouraging. And I pray that we here at Trinity would understand this better, that, Lord, we depend so heavily on our military to protect us. And I think a lot of young people don't understand that, but those that are older here that do, that we need a strong military, and it needs to be led by Christ. And I just thank you that Tim can do this. I'm just thankful that he has not been restricted, that OCF can continue to work. So I thank you for this time. I thank you for just an encouragement to me to know what's going on, and that you would continue to use he and his family to make a difference. And even maybe Trinity can get more involved in some way that we could have more officers coming through when they're here. So, again, I just thank you for this time and Lord, what you're doing and continue to be used to him and him in this ministry. And I pray this in Christ's name again.
Well, I just pray for Tim and the ministry there at OCF. Well, I just pray that you would bring people as they come into Montgomery, that you would just bring these officers into this ministry, that they would see this would strengthen this spiritual pillar of their life and how much that is important in what they do and decisions that they make and then the influence they have on the those that are around them and under them in the chain of command. I just thank you for what that means to our military, to the families of our military. Father, we pray for their budget deficit. We pray, Father, that bring those funds in towards the end of the year, at the end of the year giving, and that people would see the need there for giving to be done to support this ministry and how important it is, just as Bob said, how important it is for here in Montgomery and all over the country. Well, I just thank you for all these things. And thank you for this time, this one thing that we share. That's something I think.
Dear Lord, thank you for sending Tim and Kim to do your work at the Air Force Base here. Working with your people, Lord, and also spreading your gospel to those who don't know it or who are weaker in the faith, in the temple to stray, Lord. Pray that you would use this ministry to build up your kingdom, Lord, that Tim and Kim would be able to see the fruit of the work of their hands and that they would be able to be encouraged. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen the families that are there in their walk with the Lord together. Lord, I pray you would unite them, tighten the family bonds between them, help the men and women who are working to understand when they're called to work and when they're called to be with their family and to know the difference, give them wisdom in that, please, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would also give strength and endurance to those family members, their wives and the children, and the husbands, Lord, that they would be able to endure the hardship that you're called them to do and still remain united, Lord. Pray that you would do this. You would send your angels to call on them and protect them and unite them, Lord. Protect them from any attacks from the world or discouragement or despair, depression, or pray that you would build them up and that they would be a witness to your name, that you would be glorified by the world seeing that even through such hardship that your gospel unites and does not break down. We pray that your name would be glorified. Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning that you woke each of us up and you chose to give us life and breath today, Lord. What a gift. And I pray, Lord, that we would use the time that you've given us well, that Lord, you would that we would hear from you, well done, that good and faithful servant, as we labor and not just doing, but like, Lord, that we want to be with you and we want to grow in our own relationship with you, Lord, just to know to sit with our Heavenly Father. So Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Trinity Church. Thank you just for them as a body recognizing that it's a big Air Force base in their backyard. There are just many men and women that come from all walks of life and from all faiths and from many that don't know you, Lord, predominantly the groups that don't know you. And so Lord, I pray that we would continue to just have even a revival on Maxwell, right? In the military community, Lord, if our military was based in that spiritual pillar and the strength of that was derived from that, Lord, in the coming years, weeks, months ahead, and the way that the world is sort of in a chaos and in a track, Lord, our military likely will be called and already has been called and is called to go and to help with the nation's wars and the nation's battles. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of these men and women to have a faith that knows that this is not the end, that, Lord, you have already won the battle, and that, Lord, if they are true believers, that they will go and be with you in eternity one day, Lord, and they need not fear about what happens when they die. Lord, we pray that we continue to just have a great partnership, and that we would, as partners in ministry, be willing to spend and be spent for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name.
Gracious Father, we are thankful for this time. We give you praise as the mighty and sovereign God, and are grateful for the blessings that are ours through Christ, as he's reconciled us to you. We thank you for Officers Christian Fellowship and for the network of ministry partners that represents spread across our U.S. military organizations around the globe. Even. And so thank you for Tim and Kim and the role they fill here in the Montgomery area, the River Region, with the discipleship, and Tim being on base and interacting with officers there, the ministry that their family does and from their home here to host. And so we pray, Father, that you would provide the resources needed for this. We pray that you would continue to guide Tim and give wisdom in the matters before him as he leads this ministry and organizes the efforts of others as well. We are thankful for those other folks here that are part of the either permanent party of the base or the long-term civilian community, retired community, those who have contact, that the ministry would continue. And as officers come and go through the schools at Maxwell, that they would know that there are people here who welcome them and will disciple them, and you would just continue that, and that you would spread the gospel through the military, through these people who are faithful to you. Mm-hmm. Lord, we ask that would continue for the sake of your kingdom. In all these things, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, we'll sign off here. Thanks for joining us, everybody out there. Tim, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. Good as 50 minutes goes by.